for listening to your AFM 99.1. This is The Art of Business with Tracy Markizzi and Ian Nesbitt. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Cora.
So we're talking about various aspects of the art of business and approaching it from a different point of view, more of a mindset, an emotional, heart-based, feeling-based. All sorts of ways of approaching business. Describe a little bit about your approach to business.
Yeah. Sorry, okay. We're just fiddling with the screen.
Sounds a little bit funny as well. Our idea is that, you know, your business is a vehicle for your personal development. So obviously at its core, business is about making profit. You know, it's about actually making a living. It's about providing a service or a product and selling that service or product and making money from that and being able to do that to such a degree that your income is greater than your expenses. And then you make a profit and you can live on that. That's the fundamental basics of what a business is. But in terms of how you approach that business and what the business is for you personally, we see it that the business is a vehicle for your personal development. It's a vehicle for your spiritual practice. It's a vehicle to be able to sort of put your full self expression, your love, your genius, your passion, and everything into it. And that's what makes a successful business. And so that's not something that people often sort of consider. It's this idea, because the business itself is, and putting out that business and putting out your ideas and putting out your services and putting out your product, especially if it's unique, it's a huge challenge and a huge learning curve. It requires a lot of skill and ability, and it also requires you to have a lot of skills and knowledge and understanding of many different areas. And so this is why your ability to be able to learn and develop yourself is a big part of what business is about, and why some businesses do really well and other businesses really struggle.
Would you like to add to that, Tracy?
I guess for me it's always been about self-expression. It really has. Doing work that I love and that is really aligned with who I am as a person. And I know that when I'm doing something that is aligned with my core values and with what I believe in and what has meaning for me, it just creates a deep sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. And that's what Ian and I share. The only way to really experience that fulfillment and satisfaction is by following those deep desires that really come from the essence of who you are as a person. So for us personally, for me, it's been about expanding that sense of myself and all those things that are meaningful to me. And I think the older you get in life, you start to see different areas and realize different things about yourself and society and gaps in yourself and in the world, areas where things are missing and something could be done, provided there in those areas where it's missing and could be done really well. I think there's a lot of businesses doing things, at certain levels. I guess for us, we're always looking at how can we do something, to a really an amazing level that's really going to create deep impact for people. So it's not only fulfilling, our ability to expand ourselves and generate ourselves in new ways, but it's delighting all the people that we work with, because they're just delighted and surprised by our offering. So
there's a great book called Good to Great, which sort of speaks to what Tracy's talking about though, which is just the idea of good being the enemy of great. So, it's like if you're settling just for being good, then it's, at some point it's going to become unfulfilling and unsatisfying. And so it's always great to sort of find your edge and push your edge, be constantly looking at how you can do what you do better.
It's like a picture I'm getting in my mind is one of like a landscape where you have mountains, you have valleys, you have these areas where there's like quicksand and desert areas, you've got lush areas. So perhaps when you're talking about lifting up from good to great, you know, imagining that the mountaintop is great, there are some areas of your life that are like quicksand. And I thought, and I guess in this personal development process, you might be wanting to lift up out of those areas of the quicksand.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, you just get great at dealing with the quicksand. You know, like it's not making any of it wrong. Sometimes it is really difficult. Sometimes it's really tough. You know, if you've got to learn a new computer program, or, you know, you've got to understand how digital marketing works, or, you know, something like that, it's, you know, it's an incredibly steep learning curve. And so you can feel like you're in the swamp when you start doing something like that. Or, you know, you hit a brick wall with a product idea that you think is going to be really good, but then the market doesn't respond well to it. Yeah, so it requires you to be able to be great at being able to deal with those difficult situations, you know. And so that's also it as well. You know, it's, you can be good at that, you can be great at it. It's just something to aspire to. You know, there's my favorite sports coach of mine once said that, you know, we all strive for perfection knowing that we'll never reach it. You know, it's ridiculous to think you're ever going to reach it, but it doesn't stop you from you know, striving for that, for you know, for being willing to go that extra mile for yourself, you know, because it's like money in the bank, you know, when you really invest in yourself and invest in your own development, it's never time that's wasted.
Let's go more into depth about this after a song.
The stars and the party was carrying on. Party! All the girls were outside kicking sand, sipping on mojitos. Ooh. And all the boys were standing around nursing a cold one. Hey, hey, hey. And then, whoa, there she was. I think she's looking right at me.
No way.
Hey, I know what I see when I see it.
Right.
Watch me go down there and do my talk. Damn, girl, I just got something to say.
Love was standing there, she said.
Yeah, baby,
baby got something to say. Well, come on, hurry up, I don't got all day. You got the hots for me, I can see what you gotta give. All you got to get me, so come on, come on, what you got, give it to me. If not, you know, I got other guys who wanna do me, huh? Let me show you how it's done. You gotta be bold, but you ain't gonna get none. Tell me what it be okay if I say
you got it. I'm under pressure, I'm nervous.
Chicken.
Hold up, girl, listen up, here I go. You're all that, you definitely got it, Joe.
What you want, what you need?
What I gotta say, give me your hand and let me take you away.
Okay.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is The Art of Business with Tracy Marcuzzi and Ian Nesbitt. We're talking about business from a different point of view, one where it is a personal development exercise, for want of a better term. There is a lot of terrain that we need to cover when you're in a business, starting a business, a veteran in a business. Some of the parts of a business are difficult. And it's like going through difficult terrain. And one of the things that can take you right out of the game is when you come across those challenges and you don't feel that you can quite meet them. What are some ways that you address those issues?
Well, I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges for being in business is having to deal with your own resistance. You know, and that shows up as a resistance to want to do things, to want to take actions, to want to learn, to want to develop, to want to understand, and to do that, you know, we have to be in a state of humility. We have to be in a state of not thinking we know how it is, not thinking we know how it goes. And so this is part of the way that limiting beliefs stop us. It's because a limiting belief is basically a belief that limits what you see as possible. So, you know, we all have limiting beliefs. It's a part of being a human being. And so, you know, and we develop them over time. And they're intricately connected and part of our ego identity. A sense of who we think we are, and so these beliefs get picked up along the way. Some of them are hardwired into our system from a very young age, you know. So I'm not good enough. I'm not loved. I'm not worthy. I'm not heard. I'm not understood. You know, these type of limiting beliefs are, you know, they're really deeply powerful emotional beliefs that affect us on a very deep level. So we have to start to develop the ability to realize that when we're sitting down and we're learning that computer program, for instance, or we're learning about some aspect of our business that we don't know or understand, we have to face that part of ourselves that thinks, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, I'm going to stuff this up, I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to get it wrong, you know. And, you know, that's one aspect of it. Or the other aspect is, I can't be bothered doing this. I don't want to do this. This is not what I want. This is not what I want to do. And this is how people react depending on the situation, right? They either escape the situation or they beat themselves up that it's wrong, you know. But obviously you can't run a business from that perspective. In fact, you can't do anything professionally from that perspective because, you know, part of being in business is that you say things that you're going to do, and then, you know, there's a requirement to do those things. There's a requirement to turn up on time for things. There's a requirement to give that, you know, invoice when you said you were going to give it, you know, to do the work in the time that you said you were going to do the work. And that comes down to, you know, to integrity, which is, you know, a thing that I learned from Landmark Education, was this idea that, you know, if you don't take the actions that you said you're going to take, it has an impact on how people perceive you, and how and it has an impact on how you perceive yourself. And so it reinforces the feeling that I'm not good enough, not loved, I'm not understood, I'm not appreciated, whatever it is.
I'm hopeless,
I'm useless, you know, all of these self-beat-up experiences. But when you come down to it, and you come down to actual responsibility, which is like being a leader, you know, taking the actions, you know, none of that is useful. So in other words, I'm not good enough plus no action still equals no action. You know, no one cares whether you're good enough or not. All they care about is whether you took the action or not. You know, whether you, you know, made that phone call or, you know, sent that invoice or did that job that you said you were going to do. So, you know, that's the realization that most people in business have to wake up to, is that, you know, you see it a lot with tradespeople. There's a lot of excuses for why they didn't do that, or why they didn't turn up on time, or why this didn't happen, or that didn't happen. But really, they're just operating in their own, do what they want to do when they want to do it. And that's not a great way to run a business, you know. So the limiting beliefs play this role of sabotaging what you do. They sabotage what you do, and they give you an excuse to be in resistance to something.
And how can you deal with things that are in your subconscious? I mean, if it's been a part of the way you think and you're not even aware of it, how do you even approach it?
One of the things we really love to, you know, when we share with people, they it makes sense to them, and that's the building the muscle to interrupt yourself. So as Ian mentioned, we can go into a lot of resistance, and we can go into certain ways of being that have us avoid doing certain activities. And if we can start to notice and bring awareness back to those times that we're pulling away, that we're avoiding, that we're just, you know, off on our own world and just ignoring, literally ignoring something, because it's very easy to do. Oh, that's all too hard. I'll just deal with it later. But the issue is you deal with it, you say you're going to deal with it later, but it just sort of builds up and it gets harder and harder to face, and it becomes this kind of mountain in your mind. And it's very difficult to go back to something when you've left it. There's often a lot of pain there, and what people are actually avoiding is feeling the pain. So when you're avoiding something, there's a pain that needs to be felt and addressed. And you know, we don't like pain in general as humans. We don't like feeling pain. And there's a lot of conditioning in society which just doesn't really validate the importance of pain or the message or the teaching of pain. You know, we like to see that pain, you know, can be a great teacher for us if we understand the role that it plays. So it's about really interrupting yourself, you know, building that muscle through awareness to notice, okay, I want to put the phone down because I don't want to get back to this person now. And you know, on some level, you're not going to get back to them for a week or two or whatever the activity is. I'm not going to do it. So it's just noticing that and going, wow, okay, and really getting the consequences. I think that's one of the things that's worked for me, is sort of understanding, well, if I leave that, you know, what's the impact, like Ian says, that's going to leave on the clients, you know, on their perception of me and who I am. If I don't get back to clients, you know, in a certain amount of time, if I don't sort of follow through on what I said I would do or promised, then it looks bad and, you know, you feel awful. And then there's just sort of stuff in the space that between you and the client. So you're creating this energy, this dynamic that and tension in the space, which then doesn't feel good for you, doesn't feel good for them. So really getting aware that, you know, it could lead to the loss of, you know, your clients. It could lead to decline in your sales and, you know, lots of different things. You know, things begin to fall apart when even simple things and small things you start to let go of and ignore and kind of fudge or go, oh, I'll just sweep that under the carpet or I'll just do a half-baked job, you know. We know when we're not doing something properly. We know that, you know, it is not good enough. So sometimes we do have to come face to face with, actually, I'm really not good at finances at all, or I'm not really good at marketing, and accepting that pain, and maybe I'm resisting doing something because the pain of accepting that I'm not good at something or that I'm struggling with something and that I probably need help, you know. That's another reason why people resist. They resist the pain, and then they resist, like, they don't know how to get the support they need to work through the issue so they can start to manage things better.
And when it comes to limiting beliefs particularly, you need support. You need help. You need to pay a professional person to work with you through those things in a formal setting, in a contained space. Where that's the intention of the space and that's what you've come together to do, because otherwise it's just going to be running. And, you know, obviously it's going to be somebody who's skillful at being able to do that and being able to pick up on what that is. Otherwise, you know, yeah, like you say, it will just run in the background for years and years and years unless you're really, really diligently looking for them. Some of them are pretty hard to see because they're precious to you. You know, they're really, really precious. They're really part of your philosophy of life or how you see the world or how you think things are. And so some of them are pretty hard to give up because of that. You don't think of them as beliefs. You think of them as facts.
So interesting. And let's talk more about this after a song.
Carry a
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is The Art of Business with Ian Nesbitt and Tracy Marchese. We're talking about resistance to pain, and how that can really set you off in a hamster wheel of torture. And how can we get out of this? How can we get out of it? How can we have a new relationship with pain?
Well, basically, you have to learn to stop the hamster wheel. You know, you have to learn how to jump off it. You know, if you're taking actions, not taking action, sorry, and that's causing you pain, that will often then lead to you not taking actions in other areas, which cause more pain. You get to beat yourself up, you know, and it continues a perpetual state of drama in your life. And this is the other thing about business, and you know, a lot of business owners who come to me for coaching and so on, is that they're at a point where the drama is so full on, you know, it's so overwhelming, there's so many things that are falling apart that they, you know, they know that they're causing it, but they can't see why or how, you know. And so it's that ability to interrupt yourself, even if it means going to see a business coach or a personal development coach or something, just to interrupt yourself. And but you know, it's knowing when to do that, because we don't learn when to interrupt ourselves, when to take actions in that area, when to go and get somebody to help.
Yeah, I think often when the pain gets so great, or the suffering, I should say, that hamster wheel of suffering, it just does, you know, become an endless cycle of beating yourself up and, you know, just agonizing or going into anxiety or just like the pressure building up. The people can just become so immense, and they just know that they, you know, something's got to give, something's got to pop. They have to get real on another level, and they have to face what they've been avoiding, or they have to find new ways to deal with the complexity and all the issues that are coming at them. And and that requires humility, like Ian said right at the start. It requires humility and openness and a willingness to go, okay, I'm not managing this very well, and you know and to look at, okay, your strengths, but then also your weaknesses. Okay, I might be doing this really well, but in this and this area, you know, it's lagging behind. I'm falling behind. It's insufficient. It's inadequate. And just, you know, it's got to be addressed. You've got to get real with yourself and what's happening on another level.
Why do you think there is this expectation that we should have it all together anyway? I mean, why can't we be humble like children? And, you know, we're going through a learning process, a steep learning curve at times. Why do you think that we can't go back to that beginner's mind?
Well, I think the education system sets us up that way, to be honest. I think, you know, it teaches us that you've got to know what you're doing. You've got to have the right answers. If you get up and give an answer in class, whatever you do, do not be wrong, because all your peers are going to laugh at you and think you're stupid. You know, when you're in business or starting jobs, you know, people expect you to know what you're doing, expect you to have a handle on things. It's a fundamental part of our society is set up that way. So I think the humility of children just learning and developing themselves is knocked out of them pretty quickly in this day and age in society. It's one of the big points that I like to make in our workshops that we do, is that, you know, I think it's Ken Robinson who talks about, you know, at the age of five, 98% of kids are geniuses. You know, by the time they're 10, it's less than 40%. And by the time they're 14, it's less than 5%. And that's because they've been educated, you know, which means, you know, in inverted commas, educated, which means that they've had any intuitive feeling intelligence knocked out of them. And they're taught to just purely see the world and operate from their intellect. And as we said, I think in the last show, was you know, the intellect's like a goldfish bowl. You know, it's limited. You know, that's part of the limited self. That's part of the, you know, the limited beliefs all operate inside of the intellect. So it's, you know, the intellect's great for telling you what the fine details of the goldfish bowl are, but they're not really good at seeing outside the goldfish bowl. So again, if you've got to learn something like programming, or you've got to learn a new program, or you've got to learn about marketing, or you've got to learn something that's outside what you intellectually understand normally, you only humility is going to take you out of, into that space. You know, the willingness to accept that you don't know what you're doing, you know, and be okay with that, and be okay that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to look stupid. You know, you're going to, you know, look like a fool, because that's a big part of it. The education system, in my view, teaches a lot of people that, you know, to fear looking foolish, and fear not knowing what you're doing, and be seen to be not knowing what you're doing. And that's a, you know, that's a big part of it. So we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with not knowing what we're doing, and be able to step into that space of learning, and having the humility to say, wow, this is difficult. This is hard. This is, it's going to take time to learn and develop, you know. And I had a couple of points that was there for me to just say around that as well, which was just that, you know, I find that when it's, something's extremely complex, and this is just for me personally, when I find something's extremely complex, the best way for me to approach it is to learn the simple things first about it. So if you're talking about a computer program, it's just to be able to do simple things first, and then to realize that, oh, wow, okay, now I can do those simple things. Now I want to, you know, start to think about, okay, what else do I want to be able to learn to do? And so, you know, you go from very simple and you slowly get more and more complex as you go. But if it's a question of something that's easy versus, you know, difficult, like, you know, if you know there's something that you can do that you've got competency around, but it's difficult to do, and it's always best to do that one first. It's always best to go towards the difficult thing first. And then you can do the easy stuff later, you know, because it's the nature of things. And so, you know, again, this is how you look at and how you approach the things that are there for you to do when you're running your business.
Well, let's get to a song.
We'll be right back. are listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Tracy and Ian, how do we develop new relationship with pain, new relationship with fear, something that we can put into practice like today? What could we do, you know, like before we get to go and see someone professional, what could we start to do as of today?
Yeah, breathing is good. Ian said breathing, just breathe and be okay with where you're at. I actually love lightness and humour as well. You know, you've got to bring a sense of lightness and joy, because when it gets too serious and too heavy, it's, you just get stuck and it makes everything harder to, you know, to move and shift. So you've got to, you know, you've got to be able to laugh at yourself. You've got to be able to say, this is a schmozzle, I'm hopeless at this. I'm struggling right now, you know. This is hard, you know, and just to give yourself permission to admit that and to, you know, just be light about it and real about it, like I said earlier, and okay about it. The biggest thing is people, like, all these things are happening and it's not okay. You know, actually it is okay. You need to make them okay. It's all part of the journey. So all the wins that we have, yay, I got a client, that's great. We've got to be yay when we struggle with something too. We've got to be just like, yay, I have no idea. Yay, I'm going to go find someone to help me. You know, yay, I can do this. In, you know, I just don't know how yet, you know.
And speaking to what you said before, you know, that what everything Tracy's just said is fantastic if you're doing that by yourself, for yourself. That's really important. I think what's also really important to point out is not to do that with your clients, not to do that with people who are involved in the business on some level, who are coming to you, your customers and so on and so forth, right? That's definitely not what's there to do. You want to look like you've got it handled. Mm-hmm. And just to use an obvious example would be, you know, you don't want to get on an aeroplane and the pilot says, hey, everybody, just want to let you know my wife's left me and I've had a really crappy day. So let's see if we can get this sucker off the ground and see what happens, right? You know, to quote Robin Williams, you know, like, you don't want a dentist going, oh, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm doing here, but let's have a go at this too and see where we get. You know, you know, people want to feel like you've confidence. Got it handled.
Yeah.
You know, you know what you're doing and you've got it handled, because it creates a sense of security. It, you know, you feel safe when somebody lets you know that they've got it handled. If they're acting like they haven't, it creates the opposite. It creates, you know, insecurity and unsafeness, you know. And that's not what we want our customers to experience at all.
But behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah.
You know what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
You know what needs to be done. You can laugh behind the scenes.
That's it. Yeah, totally.
Well, I guess in some ways you think about the players on the playing field. You know, they're out there. They're in the public eye. They have their training sessions. They have their coaching sessions. They have their aches and their pains and their strains. They have to go get their massage. They have to get some mindset work done. I guess in the same way, if you think about business as a game, you can think about all of those aspects. You know, they're not running out onto the field saying, ow, 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 my back hurts.
Yes, yes, yes. And they're sitting in baths of ice these days after they've played a game, you know, because that's what the science says is best for their muscles. Wow. You know, so that's no... That's no easy feat. You know, you've got to have some willpower to be able to do that. You know, so it does take something. It takes mental strength. You know, that's what business also takes. It takes mental strength, you know. And that means that if you think about mental emotional states, emotions are tied to our mental state. So we talked, you know, you mentioned limiting beliefs, or we talked about them earlier. So when you have a limiting belief like I'm hopeless, you automatically then have a fear, you know, an emotion that goes with that. You know, it could be sadness, it could be, you know, it could be anger. There's an upset there, and we go into that emotional space. And what we find is that, you know, the more you work on yourself, the more you realize that that's like a feedback loop. It keeps you in that space, you know. So you feel crap, but then you do something else, and then that's equally makes you feel hopeless, and it goes back and forth that way. So that's the mechanism of how that the hamster wheel actually works. And so, you know, we have to learn to interrupt that, and that's why humor and, you know, lightheartedness, you know, really helps, because you can't beat yourself up and be lighthearted at the same time. You know, you can't give yourself a hard time and be lighthearted at the same time, so and laugh. So the laughter really lets you let go of that, you know, and allows you to not care as much, you know, because sometimes we overcare about things in business. We get too like, oh, I've got to do this perfect. I've got to do this right. I've got to, you know, it's just doing your best, you know, just knowing that you've done your best and that's it. And let it be that. Let it be whatever that is. And then, you know, next time you do it, you'll be better at it. And you'll do it a bit better. And you know, you'll go through that journey of getting better and better. And that can take years, right? You know, and that's it. That's why it's a marathon and not a sprint.
It makes me think of, I always like to think in metaphor. And so what came to mind now was a kid on the beach building a sandcastle. And you know how serious kids can get? Sandcastle, I mean, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be epic, you know, with my feathers and sticks. And, yet, you know, and like it, but, you know, sometimes someone will kick it over and kids can get so angry.
Mm.
Is, you know, they let go as well. At the end, they can let go. But you know, in a way, our business, you know, can be likened to a sandcastle.
Mm. Well, I think we have to let go of that attachment in our mind to how it looks. It's going to be like this, and this is what I'm going to earn. This is how I'm going to create it. And yeah, the water comes and knocks a bit down when you're not looking. And you know, like you said, a kid will come and knock it off, and that anger and frustration. But I don't know. We like to think that there's something greater or better to be developed. There's a reason why that had to, you know, kind of be destroyed on some level. Like, it's business is always testing us. It's always testing us all the time, and testing our strengths and testing our abilities and who we are. And if something's just an idea and there's nothing kind of really solid behind it, it might just have to be destroyed and rebuilt again. You know, so.
Well, on the flip side of that, you know, if you're building a castle and the waves are coming in and washing it away, and so you build another castle and the waves come in and wash that one away.
You might need a wall.
Well, you might need a moat, yeah? You might need, so, you know, you might need some way of protecting your castle, right? You know, so there's intellect is useful in that sense, right? You know, it's like, you know, use your intelligence and work out what you need to protect your castle. And so that's part of it too.
There's no one answer fits all, really.
Yeah.
You can imagine if you started to think about it as a sandcastle that you're building and bring in that lightheartedness, bring in the seriousness, bring in the moat building process, but also keep that childlikeness
alive, because we're designed to play. And isn't it amazing to be able to build a business that you love where you get to play and express yourself? You know, play is still so limited a word. People think about children. They think about, you know, instruments or different things. But, you know, really playing is just your ability to just move energy in your world, in your way, that is a delight to you, really.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you're shifting things, you're making things happen, you're just playing with things. You're creating. It's
and I think
the art of business. You can want to approach it from a playful place.
Yeah.
In a sense, yeah, it's got to have that quality, but it's also got to have a reality to it, right, as well. You know, you don't want the pilot coming in going, oh, it's playtime, you know, or the dentist coming in going, I'm going to be fully self-expressed today in your mouth, you know. It's you know, you don't want that, right? You want you You want steadfast, repetitive. You want to know what you're getting, right? You know, with certain situations in business, you want to know that what you're buying is what's on the tin. You want consistency. You know,
I'll give you the bucket. You can have the bucket and fill it up with the sand and get all those exact sandcastles.
Yeah. So, you know, there needs to be a consistency there. You know, if someone comes and gets a burger off you, I don't know, just as an example, you know, and they buy the burger and they're like, oh, wow, that's fantastic. And then they come back a week later and say, can I have another one of those? And it's completely different. Then, you know, oh, yeah, I decided to have a bit of self-expression today. And, you know, there's a balance, which is the word. The balance is between the two. Oh, I've got this other burger which I've created, right? You know, would you like to try that, right? So it's got to have both. You've got to have the consistency, and it's also, you know, you've got to
choose something and stick to it. And, you know, there's an experimental phase, as always, with every business. You've got to experiment, and that's part of it. And at a certain point, you've got to stick to something and really give it a go and kind of, you know, just – see if it takes off.
I think it's okay to compartmentalize.
you have to wear lots of different hats in business.
That's it.
You
know? Yeah.
You have to.
It's been such a pleasure to talk to you again today about the art of business. It's always so interesting, so fascinating. What's your Facebook page? People can go and have a look at what you're doing.
It's Facebook/ Tracy and Ian
Tracy at the moment. And our website's www.beingtheone.com.au. Being the one, BEINGTHE.
We hope the listeners are enjoying the topic. Yeah. And we'd love to hear.
Yeah, right. You know, we've also got a Facebook page.
We've got a Facebook group called The Art of Business.
So you can put comments on that.
Yeah, we'd love to kind of have you join in on that.
Thank you so much.
This has been fun and playful.
Yes.
Thanks, Cora.